feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. One of the most common desires of Christians is that they want to hear God's voice. We all want to hear God's direction for our lives specifically. Over the past couple of Searchlight programs, we have been discussing just how we can hear God's voice in this way. Our study is from a story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Samuel, as a young boy, first hears God speaking to him. John has 4 points to share with us from this passage regarding hearing God's voice. First, John pointed out who God spoke to. It was a little boy. This means that we need to listen to God with the expectation and wonder of a child. It was when Samuel was ministering to the Lord, not for the Lord, but to the Lord. As we join John today, he is talking about the third thing that we can learn from this story about hearing from the Lord. Here now is Pastor John.
But where, number three, where did the Lord speak to Samuel? Well, quite frankly, Samuel was in the temple. He was in the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says to us, what? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 3, hey, you are the temple. Who? You guys collectively. Peter says we're living stones being fit together. We are the temple. Samuel was in the temple. This little guy was there in the temple. And I'll tell you this, as a little guy, that's where I heard the voice of the Lord most clearly. Was in the temple, at church, youth group meetings and Sunday school classes, and listening to Pastor Kermit Jeffries' sermons. And as the years have gone by, I have heard his voice most clearly and most frequently in the temple. If somebody says, I want the Lord to speak to me and give guidance for me, be in the temple. It's such a key. As the days and weeks and months and years and decades go by, it's the place he'll speak to you frequently. It's in the temple. It's how he works. It's what he's into. People coming together. And it's amazing. It's not just to hear Pastor John or Peter John or some other brother or sister share something. I can't tell you the number of times I've stood at the back door after a service and people come out, and oftentimes I'll hear something like this. Oh, thanks a lot, John. That really spoke to me. And they'll share what spoke to them, this and that and the other. And I didn't say any of those things. Wasn't at all what I was talking about. Not even close. But that's what they heard. Why? Because it was God who was speaking to them in the temple. That's the key. They came to the temple, and God met them as he said he would do. And they go their way having heard from the Lord that day. And so I just smile and I just say, oh, praise the Lord. I don't say, I didn't talk about that, because I know that's not the point. That's what they heard in their ear from the Lord. And it's a good thing, you see. In the temple. In the temple. Who does God speak to? A child. When? When the child is ministering to the Lord. Where? While he's in the temple. And number four, finally, and most importantly, and Please tune in if you've been drifting off just a bit, because this is really important. Why did God speak to Samuel? Why did God speak to, not to Eli, the old guy, the old religious guy, the professional priest, the guy who thought he knew it all? God didn't speak to him, but he spoke to Samuel. Samuel, this little guy, brought to the temple by his mother Hannah, for you know the story, his mother Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. She prayed herself in the temple one day, "Lord, if you bless me with a child, I'll consecrate him. I'll dedicate him to you. He'll be for you, Lord." God heard her prayer, and Hannah conceived miraculously. And the baby that was born was this boy, Samuel, that we're talking about in our story. And Hannah, after Samuel was weaned, brought him to the temple. And there turned him over to Eli, the priest, to grow up in the temple, to be used by the Lord all of his days. Samuel, he's there in the temple. And listen to me carefully. Why did he hear so clearly? Why did God speak to him specifically? What's the deal? Because, listen, he got out of bed when God said, "Samuel." Responsiveness. Number one, responsiveness. That's why God spoke to Samuel. There's a responsiveness in him. He responded. Now listen to me, kids. I'm convinced this is the key. God speaks to you and he talks to me in the middle of the night. But we think it's the pizza or our husband's snoring or we have a weak bladder. That's what's the matter. Or I need some Pepto-Bismol or I had that double latte at Starbucks. That's why I'm awake at 3 in the morning or 2 a.m. or 11:30. I know I'll try to get back to sleep by watching David Letterman. That's what I'll do. Or I'll pull a bowl of cereal and break out the newspaper to get my mind off the stuff that's churning through my brain. And maybe then I can fall back asleep again. Or I'll take some Alka-Seltzer. Hand me some Sominex, would you please? God is saying, Johnny, my tendency in my flesh is to pull the covers over my head and put the pillow around my ears and say, "I've got to get some sleep. I'm just thinking too much. I'm getting old." You know, if you have to get up at night, you think it's because you're getting old. Well, that's only partially right. You're getting old if you're 50, you're just about dead. And God knows that. And God would say to you that are my age, our age, he would say, "Time is running out. I need to talk to you." You think it's your bladder. It's not. It's the Father. He's saying, "I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. I've got stuff to say to you. And you're about dead, John. Your life is racing by. Your grandfather, for Pete's sake." For Pete's sake. You're a granddad. You're a grandpa. Where has the time gone, John? Hey, your life is coming to an end. I want your attention. You think it's this or you think it's that. You think it's this physical problem or that mental issue. It's not. It's me. Wake up. Get out of bed. Seek my face and hear my voice. Don't roll over. Don't get a ham sandwich. Don't go out and watch TV. Talk to me. I thought it was Eli. I thought it was the pizza. I thought it was Eli. I thought I just was thinking stuff about work. I thought it was Eli. My husband's snoring, you might say. It's not what you think it is. You think it's your husband snoring. Or you think it's just your stomach churning. Or you think it's just the problems weighing on you. That's not true. It's not so. That's what Samuel thought initially. It's Eli. It's Eli. It's Eli. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Three times. It's not what you think it is. It's not who you think it is. It's the Lord. And I am convinced that the Lord is pulling the strings of your soul and the strings of my heart constantly, often at night, because it's the only time the house is quiet. It's the only time there's margins and space. During the day, we're thinking about too many things. We're having too much input from the computers, from the radio, from the TV, from the family. At nighttime, he says, now's the time. And he taps on my shoulder. The question is, will I respond? And when I do, it's amazing what happens to me. Because so very frequently I hear him say, John, got your attention. There's something I want to talk over with you. There's some direction I want to give to you. There's a word of correction I have for you. Got it, Lord. Listen, young people. If you want your dreams to come true, you've got to get out of bed. Your dreams will never come true if you stay in bed, I guarantee. Samuel, four times in one night, got out of bed to check out what was going on. On the fourth time, he discovered it was the Lord all along. You got to get out of bed. God interrupts your sleep or interrupts your life. Hey, the coach, that blind coach, that old guy, couldn't he see that I pump in three-pointers better than anybody else that's trying out on the team? Why does he cut me? The junior in high school will say, he shouldn't have cut me. What's going on? That old coach, that old blind coach, he doesn't see a thing. Eli couldn't see either. It's not the coach, and it wasn't Eli. It's your father who says, I'm interrupting your plans. I'm shaking up your schedule because I want you to hear from me. Your boss hands you a pink slip. What? That crazy old boss? How could he let me go? I know times are tough economically, but why me? It's not fair. Doesn't he know? Can't he see how much I contribute to the company? What do you mean firing me? It's not your boss, that blind old bat. It's not him at all. It's God who's saying to you, I want to talk stuff over with you. And you know, you've been meaning to go to the mountaintop for 4 years now, for a day, but you thought you never had time. Now you do. You're fired. But there's new direction for you. But what I want is for you to do what Samuel did. To seek me. To not go back to bed. To not take a Prozac and be in depression. To not turn on the TV and wonder what you're going to do next with your occupation. I want you to seek me. I want you to do what you've meant to for these many years. I want you to go to the mountaintop for a day or two or three and seek my face. And you can't say you don't have the time now. Because it wasn't the boss that fired you. It's me. I'm at work, you see. Wow. You mean it's not the coach? It's not my boss? It's not insomnia or too much coffee? You mean, Lord, it's you speaking to me? Exactly. And Samuel, you see, could be spoken to because he was responsive. Every time he heard something, he got out of bed and explored the situation and discovered ultimately it was God who was speaking to him, you see. Listen, get out of bed. Whatever that means, get out of bed. And you'll be amazed at what you will hear the Father say. If you wake up, if I get out of bed, if we respond in the middle of the night or during that unexpected interruption in the day. Responsiveness. That's why God spoke to Samuel. Faithfulness. Secondly, faithfulness. Yeah, that's why God spoke to Samuel. Faithfulness. Samuel told Eli everything. God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel then faithfully gave out what was poured in. Samuel gave out what God gave him. And from that time on, that's what Samuel would do. He would hear from the Lord that he might then be faithful in his service for the Lord. That's why God spoke to Samuel. Responsiveness and faithfulness, yes. And lastly, tenderness. Tenderness. He didn't want to tell Eli. He heard the word. His heart was broken. He just sat there. He laid there that night, and he didn't want to say, "Eli, Eli, you're in trouble, buddy. You know those boys of yours that are stealing the offering and laying with the women in the tabernacle sexually? God spoke to you and warned you about that, Eli, previously. You haven't reined in your boys. You haven't disciplined your sons. And now you're dead. God said judgment is coming on you and your family, and it's too late for any sacrifices to make up for what you've done in this sin and iniquity." Now, Samuel, growing up, saw those sons, was aware of that immorality and problem. And perhaps he could have said, "Aha, at last, God, you're dealing with that sinner and his sons." But that's not the heart of Samuel. Nor was it the heart of Daniel. In chapter 4 of Daniel, remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar, that proud, pompous, pagan king, had a dream. Couldn't figure it out. "Daniel, what does it mean?" he said. Daniel was told, prayed about it, and said, "Oh, king, king." As Daniel received the interpretation, his exclamation was, "I wish that this dream didn't apply to you, but to your worst enemy. For you're going to go insane like an animal for 7 years and eat grass like a cow in the open fields." Now, Daniel could have said, "Huh, great, that pompous pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar. It's about time God gets his way and grabs that guy and brings him down a notch or two." But that's not the heart of Daniel, nor was it the heart of Samuel, nor would it be the heart of anyone who's in tune with him. I say that to say this: if God, when God, as God speaks to you, speaks to me, yeah, there are things to share, but it will always be enveloped, packaged in compassion, tenderness, love. Always. If anybody comes your way and says, "The Lord told me to tell you that he's ticked off and you're dead meat," ha 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 ha, just write it off. Walk away. That guy is not hearing from the Lord. No, not that day. Anybody comes down and puts his finger in your face and screams at you or carries a sign in Medford about you, whatever it might be, that's not God. That's not God. Because you see, compassion and tenderness, grace and kindness, those are the attributes of God, even if the message is a difficult one. It's always enveloped in compassion and kindness. Look at Jesus. Samuel, of course the Lord is going to speak to him. He's responsive. He gets out of bed. He's faithful. He shares what God said. But he's tender, full of compassion. even when he has a hard mission, it's enveloped in agape love and tenderness and mercy, you see. That's the way it works. It's the way it works for me and for you. Who does God speak to? Those that are childlike. When? When we're ministering to him so frequently. Where? In the temple. Quite often, actually. Why? Why Samuel? Why you? Why me? He'll minister to us and share with us and talk to us if we are responsive. Get out of bed. Check it out. And faithful to do what he tells us to. And tender. That's such a key. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. He was not talking to non-Christians in Revelation chapter 3. He was talking to the church. I'm speaking. I'm knocking. And I want to have dinner with you. When I take Tambo out for dinner, we talk. We conversate. We get realigned and readjusted. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm here knocking. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have dinner with him or with her or with them. That's what I desire. But the implication of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, is that many Christians in that church wouldn't listen, didn't hear. They weren't tuned in to open the door. They wouldn't get out of bed when they heard the knocking. And they would lose out terribly and eternally. May that not be true of this church or of you or of me personally. Lord, as you knock, and you do, help me to get out of bed and open up the door for you. Lord, I'm going to look at these hard knocks that come my way. The difficulties, the setbacks, the sleepless nights, whatever it might be. I'm now going to say, Lord, is that you? Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. And if you do, and when you do, and as you do, me and you, we're going to find that Jesus was right and what he said is true. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Get out of bed. It's not what you think it is. It's not who you think it is. It's the Lord. He's knocking. He's calling. Get out of bed and listen. You'll be amazed at what he'll say. I guarantee. I guarantee.
God is just waiting to talk to you. Will you tune in to him? Will you be responsive to him? If you do, you have the guarantee that you will be blessed. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You, Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order a place for you from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.